Hello, everybody. Welcome to an especially late episode of Free China Pod for January 16th, 2020.
It's definitely not the latest we've done.
Maybe not. It feels late, though. Pretty tired boy. You got any hot stories for today?
Do I never.
All right, well, I figure I should give a... We talked long and hard and full of you-know-what last night. About Tsai's comments, I felt like, you know, I should give more context to her speech, and maybe we can have a little smaller discussion. I feel like we pretty much explained how we feel about the whole thing. But in that article that I gave the quote from last time, she also said that she did, because we kind of talked about some of the separate identity and things like that, and underscoring those things and how that might be important for showing the difference between Taiwan and China. And she did also underscore that point. She said, we have a separate identity and we're a country of our own. And she says that, you know, the youth especially are standing up against ideas that infringe on Taiwanese identity. She also said that we deserve respect from China. And she said, you cannot exclude the possibility of war at any time. So she obviously knows that war is, you know, with China is a possibility. Chinese state news agencies were tweeting today about war and saying that it's more likely that they could take Taiwan by force than by political persuasion, which is obviously true. The political thing is long gone. That's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I did see that today. Yeah. They were threatening that.
Yeah.
Bastards.
So she said, the last thing that I have is that she said, we've been trying very hard and making a lot of efforts to strengthen our capability. Basically, when the interviewer from the BBC asked her if Taiwan was prepared to defend against a Chinese military invasion. So I don't know. I just wanted to give a few more points of hers. I felt like I just gave one quote and maybe that was a little unfair to her, but I think most of what we said still stands and is still valid critique of Taiwan still needs to go farther. And, you know, whatever that might be, especially at least in terms of just straight up declaring independence. And I saw a lot of people echoing the things that we talked about in terms of nuclearization and things like that yesterday. So things for people to talk and think and discuss about, but definitely something that Taiwan needs to get serious about. There's a story out of Germany today that police were raiding homes of three individuals and also their offices, basically accusing them of spying.
Where?
In Germany, throughout Germany. It was in...
Which city?
Berlin, Brussels, and then in two southern states, which names I'm not going to even try to pronounce. They both start with B's as well, though, but I'm not going to butcher it.
Bundeslager.
Right. So one of them is like Baden-Württemberg, and one is Bavaria. So...
Oh, Bavaria.
Yeah, Der Spiegel said that one of the three suspects had worked as a diplomat for the EU's foreign services, including multiple times as an EU ambassador. He left in 2017 to become a lobbyist. But, I mean, this is interesting because at the same time, Germany is basically pushing through like some of this 5G stuff. Though there are, I mean, we've talked about the fact that some people are you know, trying to fight against it. And there was Merkel, I believe, said yesterday or the day before that, like, a lot of people are criticizing China because of its successes. It's like, how could you get it that wrong? Like, obviously, people aren't, we're complaining about the concentration camps. Is that a success, Merkel? Are we jealous of concentration camps? Or is it jealous of organ harvesting and threatening to invade sovereign nations, annexing territories that don't fucking belong to them? Yeah, that's what we're jealous of.
I have to say, this is just a horrifying statement.
Stupid fucking pawn leader. I hope the German people realize what they got in her, which is basically a third-way China cuck. And she should be replaced as soon as possible. What a fucking despicable thing to say. And stupid, to boot. Either stupid or coldly calculated and fucking evil as shit.
Probably both.
Very possibly both, but that was... I mean, I didn't have a lot of respect for her. There was not much reason to have respect for her. She hasn't really done anything, and she's kind of a mealy-mouthed politician, but that's one thing to drop her down about six or seven rungs on the ladder. So, yeah, disgusting. Yeah, I mean, I don't have very many stories either today. Lim Fei Fan, who was a Sunflower Movement participant and, like, one of the leaders, was formerly the Deputy Secretary General of the DPP, and basically he just resigned, I think, on the 15th. He resigned with the Secretary General as well, surname Zhou, I forget his full name, but they both stepped down. I know Lin Feifan said that his job was done. His job was basically to, you know, get the youth vote out, public policy relations, youth and China affairs. And I mean, it seems like he did a pretty good job with how the election turned out and the youth vote turnout and how public perception of the China issue and Chinese encroachment on Taiwan has changed. So, I mean, I don't know exactly to what degree he's responsible for all of that, but it seems like he did a pretty good job. So I would hope to see him and I mean, as a member of the Sunflower Movement, you would think that he would have those leanings. So hope to see him in some sort of leadership role again soon. It seems like he did a pretty good job. So, you know, I don't know where he's headed yet. There wasn't a whole lot of information on that, but we'll see. The last thing I had to talk about today is the Wuhan pneumonia thing is just spreading like wildfire.
Yeah. And
cases in Japan.
It's good you mentioned that.
Cases in Thailand. Like, it's getting pretty bad. And a lot of people are trying to play it down. Like, I saw foreign policy giving China credit for how they've handled it, which, I mean, they're arguing that they've handled it better than SARS. But, like, SARS was literally a massive cover-up, and it was also in the time when there was no cell phones at the time. I mean, there was cell phones in 2002, but my meaning is that the ability for the government to cover up all the things, and we didn't have things like Twitter and Facebook and things like that, so it was much easier for them to cover that stuff up. Whereas now, it's like, yeah, maybe they can delete posts off Weibo, but once it's up there, someone can screenshot that and send it out or through a VPN or, you know, what have you. So it's much harder for them to keep a lid on it, as much as they do have the great firewall and things like that. But a little bit repugnant to be like, oh, they're doing so great job. Like, it's already spreading to different countries. And it seems like, I don't know if this is some mutation or if this was bad reporting initially, but, I mean, they're reporting, basically, from what I had seen from a lot of different sources, that it was not very easily spreadable from person to person. But it seems like maybe that's not true, because I know at least the case in Japan, the person hadn't even been to the market, because they're all saying like all this came from this certain market in Wuhan, and the person had no contact with that. So it seems like it's spreading person to person, or they're whatever, you know, animal infection this is coming from, or animal sickness that this is coming from, is spread further than this one thing.
It's just somewhere. It's probably embedded in the city, and who knows where.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is impossible to track, but the fact that they try and keep everything a secret makes it a lot more difficult to track these kinds of things. So it's really just a nightmare.
Another thing that made me kind of mad was they gave Hong Kong a bunch of credit too for screening passengers, and they didn't even mention Taiwan. Taiwan has been doing screenings essentially from the beginning as well, but no mention of Taiwan.
Never.
You don't want to mention Taiwan. Why would? Yeah, you know.
No.
Why would we? Fucking garbage, bullshit, fucking media.
Taiwan is. They're trying to make Taiwan more and more like they're making North Somalia, or like, yeah. But I mean, North Somalia is the perfect example. Just like this kind of diplomatic gray zone, or Iraqi Kurdistan.
Yeah, Kurdistan is what I was gonna say.
These places that, like, kind of allied with the United States, and that's why they're not invaded, and they have, you know, their own military, but they're just kind of like a no man's zone where everyone just ignores them.
Just, it's like, yeah, it's just, you can't even mention it. God forbid. Well, because they know they'll get a bunch of blowback. But that's what journalism is supposed to be. I mean, journalism should be on its face adversarial. I mean, I'm not saying you have to be a dickhead about it. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be, but you do have to be serious, and you don't have to cut across narratives. If you're following what the leaders are telling you, or what mainstream ideology is telling you, then you're doing journalism wrong. I mean, you can agree with, you know, if a person says a fact, of course you don't say, well, they didn't say that. It's not that. It's that you report the facts when they're facts, but you also call out the powerful. You call out these nations like China, even though they have tons of money. And if you write a bad story, you're going to get a bunch of shit on your post. You're going to get a ton of fucking bots and umau down there calling you the worst journalist ever. But you shouldn't care, because you know you have your integrity. But I'm not saying all journalists, because I have a lot of respect for a lot of journalists out there. But when I see shit like this, it's just like, what do you do, you know? And most of these people are the ones that are paid highly just to, you know, spout what the powerful want them to say. So it's not a lot of independent journalists. It's not a lot of people self-funding
or getting funding through Patreon and things like that. It's these people who get paid millions of dollars to write opinion pieces for the New York Times and Financial Times. But it's sickening. It makes me sad.
Bastards.
Bastards. You got anything else to talk about, buddy? I really...
Nothing.
I have another couple of stories in the shoot, but we've been planning the next Free China Post excursion, so I haven't had a lot of time to do a ton of research today.
Neither have I. I've been reading about Hong Kong and stuff.
It's good. We should have some, hopefully have some more stuff on that soon. Yeah. And we got a plan when we can take a little trip back to old Hong Kong.
Oh yeah, just tell me when, man. It's not expensive. We can just go for a weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to.
Just tell me when.
All right. I'll try to plan out one of these weekends here where we can find the time and I can get off whatever amount of work I need to get off of to get there. So take off my Mandarin class and stuff. So weekend does that. We'll set her all up. But all right, we'll sign out for you guys. We'll put a little short one together here today so you guys can catch up, because we put out two close to 40-minute ones the last couple days. So, but we appreciate you guys coming out. We love you. Don't forget to do social media stuff, but we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Oh, no. Tomorrow's rest day. Rest day, the best day. So you have even more time to catch up on our podcast. And if you do catch up, then go read some articles that we posted or spend some time sharing or whatever you got to do. But that's good. That'll give me time to work on my article tomorrow. All right. Well, either way, we'll talk to you on Saturday night, our time. So we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.